snore. I know it's very frightfully hot and humid, and it's, I imagine it'll be very easy to doze off when I'm reading. I hope you can stay awake. I'd like to start out in the book of Ether on page 748 as my opening text. We find in the 27th verse, our brother speaks to us concerning weakness. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will shew unto them their weakness. This is Christ speaking. It was in answer to prayer. Our brother here was writing. He was afraid that the Gentiles would mock them for their poorness in writing, their weakness in this ability. And the Lord was answering them. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will shew unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. Let's back up here a little bit, kind of review just what I just finished reading. First of all, the Lord said He gives men weaknesses. I feel that as we are in the flesh, we are weak. And Paul bears this out. So as we are now occupying in the flesh, we are weak. But we find that as we humble ourselves, that the grace of God is sufficient to deliver us from that weakness, that bring us from our weaknesses. Another thing he says in here, he says, I will show unto them their weaknesses. So you will be aware of your weaknesses. If you've humbled yourself before the Lord, He will show you your weaknesses. You'll be more aware of them. Now, I do not read this to let you know about these weaknesses as an excuse, but other than rather that you now know and understand that you're born into weakness because you live in the flesh. But we have a promise. Jacob also bears the same testimony on page 176 in your Book of Mormon. He says basically the same thing Christ did. That's chapter 3 and verse 8. Nevertheless, the Lord sheweth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by His grace and His great condescension unto the children of men, or His love, His great love for men as well, that we have power to do these things. And these things which he was referring to is through faith, they were able to do many mighty works. The brother Jared was able to remove mountains, as it says, and they were able to prophesy and receive revelations, and it was through their faith. But the Lord had showed him that they were weak, and they understood that they were weak only because they were in the flesh. And they overcame that through the power and the Spirit of Christ. On page 556 in the Book of Mormon, and it's in the Book of Helaman, we find another key to this little puzzle that Christ promises to us, starting with the 72nd verse. And remember also the words which Amulek spake unto Zizram in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. Let's think about that. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins, because of repentance. Therefore he has sent his angels to declare the tidings of conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. So we have another key. We find that it isn't that we are redeemed in our sins, but we were redeemed from our sins. Now I know you might want to ask yourself, well, exactly what does that mean? And I feel Paul and his writings kind of help us to understand what does that mean by being redeemed from our sins. In Romans, Paul goes in long exhortation about that war
that warreth within ourselves. And it happens to be a war against our flesh. Our spiritual self wars against our fleshly part, or that in which we would desire in our weaknesses to do. And Paul was very much aware of it. And so he bears out the same testimony as Christ, that I will show unto you your weakness. Paul also saw his weakness. Yet he was able to overcome those weaknesses because he saw them within himself. And he knew that there was a war that was waging within himself. And that he did have the power through the grace of God to overcome those things. And so he speaks to them concerning this war to the Romans. The 7th chapter of Romans, the 15th verse, I'll start. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And basically what he's saying, the things in which he would desire to do for the Lord, or to help himself spiritually, he doesn't do sometimes. And that the things in which he hates to do, those things which are of the flesh, that he does not desire to do, sometimes he's compelled and he does them. And so he's pondering on those thoughts. Why does he do that? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So now he recognizes that while he's in the flesh, he's in that weakness, he cannot do any good thing. Or there's nothing that dwells, no good thing within him. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's defining exactly what is going on within himself. It is the sin within him that is doing those things. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You see that law. He recognized that law. It's with us, and it's going to be with us throughout our whole life. And you better recognize it right now within your lives. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, or the spiritual man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You can substitute members as flesh. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So there's another key to helping us to understand what is going on with inside of us. And it's going on with inside each and every one of us. I want to emphasize that. And if we don't see it, I hope and pray that we humble ourselves sufficiently that we will see it. It's very important. Page 777 in the book of Moroni. Our brother speaks to us and gives us a little idea of how that saving grace helps us. That's Moroni, the 10th chapter, and 29th through the 30th verse I'll be reading. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Be perfected in him. I have to understand that has to be something in which I have to do. I have to work at. And deny yourself of all ungodliness. Another work in which now I can now handle this through denying myself of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfected in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye, by the grace of God, are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. There is that key that Helaman was talking about, Christ did not come into this world to redeem us in our sins, but to redeem us from our sins. And this should help us to understand that. In Corinthians, Paul again, he was still aware of that problem, of that war that was within himself. And many times, he in his letters to the different ones, the Romans, Corinthians, and Philippians, and the many of them, he admitted that. And he wanted to make that open and understood that that war was going on with inside of him, and that it was a daily task of overcoming that weakness of the flesh. In the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse of 1 Corinthians, it reads, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away or convicted of the words in which you spoke." The words that you spoke would be convicting to you, because he did not, or you would not have kept your body in subjection to the spirit of the will of Christ. So our brethren in the Book of Mormon had the same understanding. I like to use cross references so that we can see and understand the scriptures are one, and in their completeness in the understanding that Christ would have us to understand. And again, it also tells us that it's something we have to work on. Something we have to work on every day. On page 446, the 19th chapter of Alma, Alma was speaking to Corianton. And he says, "Now, my son, I would that ye should repent and forsake your sins and go no more after the lust of your eyes, but cross yourself in all these things. For except ye do these, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God." Again, another active word, cross. We've heard cross. We've heard deny. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was visiting our brothers and sisters on this land, on page 637, he used similar words, in that he used the word deny. Page 637, that's 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, and the 78th verse. "Behold, I give you a commandment." This is a commandment, so let's listen to that. "That ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart." Now, the things in which he was referring to was "thou shalt not kill," or "have hatred," and the many things. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Suffer that none of these things enter into your heart." And it's those things of the will of the flesh that he was speaking of. "For it is better that you should deny yourself of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than that ye should be cast into hell," giving us some admonition and a commandment. So we see the words of Christ. We see the words of Paul, who was taught of Christ by direct revelation. We see Alma in the same manner. They talk about active things on our part, things in which we have to do. Not that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be doing this in us, but we have to do this. We have to make these decisions, and we have to apply ourselves. The Lord said he would show us our weakness. Each one of us have weaknesses within ourselves. And each one should know and understand those weaknesses and to cross themselves in those weaknesses. Again, in the Paul was speaking to the Philippians in the 2nd chapter of the Philippians. I want to reemphasize. Maybe this will help you to understand what he said here in the 12th verse of the 2nd chapter. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work. Another action word. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And notice that he uses the words fear and trembling. I would also have to interpret that as in a humble attitude, that we would have to be in a humble attitude to be able to work out our salvation, and that we would not be receptive to the Spirit of the Lord unless we were in that attitude of humbleness or fear and trembling before the Lord, being very careful or cautious of those things in which we decide to do within our lives and our each and every day activities. We are all cautioned, I feel, as we read in the scriptures. We have many instances where our brethren didn't heed the commandments or the will of the Lord, and we find that something took place there. And it's something very sure and very definite, and I'd just like to remind you of this. On page 555 in the book of Helaman, the second chapter, we can, the 59th verse, it says, "And they saw that they had become weak, like unto their brethren, the Lamanites," this is the Nephites, "and that the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them, yea, it had withdrawn from them." And this, it says, why? "Because the Spirit of the Lord doth not dwell in unholy temples." So when we allow our weaknesses to overcome us or to guide us more than the Spirit of God, then His Spirit has to withdraw from us. It doesn't say leave us completely, but it says withdraw. And the reason for that is that He cannot dwell in unholy temples. That through our decisions we have created within us an unholy temple. And so a lot of times we become frustrated and we allow that war in us to take more of us, to where we get to the point where we become discouraged, and the evil one works on that discouragement and says, and makes you think that you cannot make it or cannot do these things. And so you continue on in this path for a while. You become more and more discouraged and withdrawn. And what happens? After the Spirit of the Lord continues to work with you for a certain length of time, and then He starts withdrawing Himself because you continue in that path. But you always have the ability to be awakened by the Spirit of God if we humble ourselves before the Lord, to come back, and that the Spirit of the Lord would come back to us and be very close and very present unto us. I think that's where the words where we hear many times that the Spirit of the Lord is only as close to us as we allow it to be. And sometimes I can see and understand that's very true. In the second book of Nephi, page 155, I just want to bring this little thought out, that when we're in this flesh and we are trying to stay in the Spirit, that sometimes we forget the power in which the evil one has on this, in this world. He's called the prince of the world. And He has power. And in the 12th chapter and the 5th and the 26th verse, we find that it says, "And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none." But the thing that I want to point out is that he leadeth them away carefully down to hell. It's something that doesn't happen abruptly. Very carefully. So let us remember that in our walk of life. Matthew were admonished in the 26th chapter of Matthew, 41st verse. Christ admonishes His disciples, and I feel that we should take it to heart also. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." And He shows this dividing point. The Spirit indeed is willing. This is the thing in which Paul was speaking about in the book of Romans. That war, that conflict that is within inside ourselves, of the flesh and of the Spirit. And it's a constant thing. And the Lord was bringing it to our attention again, that our spirit, I know, we have many times we sit and we daydream or we think of things in which we would love to do and desire to do for the Lord, and we don't do it. And that's what Paul was talking about. And our spirit is very indeed willing to do these things, but somehow we just never get around doing it. But he warns us and he says, but the flesh is weak. He's reminding us again that our flesh is very weak. And we have to remember it and try and dwell in the spirit to overcome the flesh. Paul kind of reiterates the wisdom of Christ or of God in our creation through and by our weaknesses. He had an affliction and he had a desire to have it healed, and he besought the Lord and the Lord answered him back. In the 9th verse of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Lord is speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses. And I consider distresses part of that warring within our members, our day-to-day life within this stressful world. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Why is he strong? Because he's in the spirit and the strength of Christ. My brother James bears out the same thought of this work that is on our part. The 4th chapter in the 1st verse. Oh no, it's the 7th verse, 8th verse. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. There's two action words. First, we have to submit ourselves or to give ourselves wholly to God. And then the second is to resist the devil. Christ had to resist the devil in the wilderness. Many of the people before us, we have examples of resisting the devil. So we too have to do the same thing. And he will flee from you. And that's a promise that we have. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Again, a little understanding on that. In the book of Hebrews, 13th chapter, we have a promise that we can read here, the 5th and the 6th verse. I want to read just part of the 5th verse. Wow. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, and this is God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me or what may be going on within my life. Turning back to Romans in the 8th chapter, there's another thing I'd like to point out. And you may have heard this many, many times, but I think I need to bring something out here. In the 38th verse of the 8th chapter, Paul is saying, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now what is that exactly saying? I know you've heard it many times. Is that our love of God would never fail and that would never be separated? Or is it saying that the love in which God has for each and every one of you through Christ will never fail? His love for you will never fail, and it will never be separated from you. You are His creation. Remember that. And that when you're in these depths of weakness, and you feel that that war within inside you is overcoming you, remember that. Remember that thought. That there is nothing that would separate that love in which God has for each and every one of you. Even in your sin. So that maybe it would humble you, and that you would turn again unto the Lord, because He does love you. There was a little, it's not a poem, it's just a little story, and you've probably heard it before, which I feel is very inspiring. It has no author. And sometimes we have to remember what it's saying. It's called Footprints. And it goes like this. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and the saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, You said that once I decided to follow You, like I read in Hebrews, once I decided to follow You, You would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed You the most, You would leave me. And the Lord replied, My son, my precious child, that love of God, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Let us remember the love in which God has for His children, for each and every one of you. Remember that you do have weaknesses. You're weak in the flesh. I'm weak in the flesh. We all are. And that war that is warring within our members is ever present in each and every one of you. But we have the ability, through denying ourselves and crossing ourselves, that through the grace of God, we would be with Him, and that we receive the reward in which He desires to have for us. Thank you.